Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
D-Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan here with you. Tim Hasselbeck will join us at 12:30. Usually joins us at 11:30, but Tim's got important things to do. He still made time for us. He'll be on at 12:30. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, really excited about this. Michaela Blakes, Vanderbilt's women's basketball star, will join us at 1 o'clock, fresh off scoring, 55 points.
55. In a game that they were behind.
They needed all of those 55 points.
Yes, they were behind by 15. This is always what impressed me. If somebody says so-and-so scored 50 or 55, the first thing I want to look at is, all right, was this a blowout where you guys won easily, and at the end of the game, you're trying to feed so-and-so to get the extra point? That has not been the case in either of her 50-point games.
They needed those. A total of 108 points somewhere.
She scored 53 against Florida late last month. So I believe it's twice in the past five games she's topped 50.
She's a freshman.
And yes, I am looking forward to that conversation. We will have Michaela Blakes of the Vanderbilt women's team at 1 o'clock. But let's continue our conversation on Derek Carr, because boy howdy, do we have a lot of reaction. Adam did text back in, Adam from Portland, responding to Mark. Mark, all about that BS. Ewers going to be the only QB1 from that draft. Trade back, pick up a third, and get Ewers there. Carr is about as exciting as his brother. As I listen to this, I'm thinking about something we used to say in middle school. I don't know. Me and my friends used to do this when there would be arguments in class. We would go, schoolyard bash, schoolyard bash, schoolyard bash. And that's what I'm thinking of with Adam.
Meet me at the playground at 4.
Were you ever part of the schoolyard bash?
Heck no.
You weren't a basher?
No, I was not. So let's just get to some reaction about Derek Carr. Because I do think people think that we are heralding Derek Carr as the answer at quarterback, the long-term answer at quarterback. Wes in Clarksville on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com says, if I had to have Carr, I just assumed I'd stick with Levis. What does Carr give you? 4 more wins? A 7-win season is not getting us anything. All it does is mess up next year's draft order. Carr will have to have a Vikings team to succeed. We are far from having that.
I understand that argument. That is a valid argument. This is why, again, I think it's important to communicate your objective. And you don't have to do it today. But once you have your approach and you're done with the draft and free agency, you say this is our objective for the year. And don't try to fool people in thinking that you're going to go win this or that. Mm-hmm. I do think it's a perfectly okay strategy to build as many assets as you can and basically say, look, we're going to get what we get this year. This is a, you don't want to say a throwaway year, but it's a rebuilding year. That would be a rebuilding approach, would it not? What the text were just throughout.
Now, read that if you have it on hand again.
He's basically saying, Carr makes you a mediocre team, and a mediocre team doesn't really
get David's
you
anywhere.
So Mark just called in, and he told me to tell you guys that he will be calling back to rebuttal tomorrow.
Okay.
I like it.
Very predictable. But
now.
So, right? I mean, is that to the gist of what he
said? Okay, I've got
a Carr makes you a 7-win team. Mm-hmm. A 7-win team gets you pick number 12 or 13.
This was Wes in Clarksville. He said if he had to have Carr, why not just stick with Levis? What does Carr give you? 4 more wins. A 7-win season is not getting us anything. All it does is mess up next year's draft.
But here's what Wes
Will Levis is not an option.
Here's what
as
Wes,
the starting quarterback.
Wes, you're missing a point. If they want to go back to Will Levis, then hey, listen, that's what they do. I've seen enough of Will Levis to know that he's not a starting quarterback in this league. I've seen enough of Derek Carr to know he is a starting quarterback in this league. Okay, so you say, well, he would get us 4 more wins, 7 wins, and I mess up our draft for the next following season. They ain't messing up the draft. You just got to learn how to draft within the draft. It's never a bad thing if you're drafting, you know, 18th, 19th, or 20th, that means you had a good team, and you just got to figure out how to get more good players because you're not drafting or picking at the top spot. Listen, what Derek Carr does for Brian Callahan, okay? What he does for Brian Callahan, and then Brian Callahan can show the organization. He can run my offense efficiently, and this is what it looks like when it's ran efficiently. Okay, we can move the ball down the field. We can score some points. It may end up not necessarily because Derek Carr is doing something other world. It may just be because he can run the offense efficiently, and then they're adding more players to the mix, not the same players from last year, okay? What Derek Carr gives you is an opportunity to run your offense. That's why you don't stick with Will Levis, because I know, like me, you have seen a lot of Will Levis. And I'm sure, Wes, that you would be, you know, up to your ears angry if they brought Will Levis back again to see the same old stuff that we saw last season, okay? Derek Carr, again, Derek Carr isn't the Messiah, okay? He's not, and that's not what I'm trying to say. I want to see good football. I want to see the Titans play good football. I think Derek Carr gives them an opportunity, not just Derek Carr alone, but there may be another quarterback out there. But for the sake of the argument, Derek Carr is the guy right now.
One texter says, watching Callahan's offense last year, I think all it needed was a quarterback who can get the ball out quick. I don't think it's a big play offense. It's dink and dunk, middle of the field, quick plays, and Carr would do good. I also want to say I think with good, competent quarterback play, the Titans are closer than everyone thinks. I genuinely believe Callahan was just as surprised by Levis's play as everyone else was, which is the point you made, Willie, mm-hmm. about Carr's ability to get the ball out quick.
Yeah, he would mask a problem that you hope will be a year better next year, too. I would hope that Skoronski and Latham, with another year starting next year, will be a good tandem on the left side.
Yeah, hopefully.
You know, you hope that they will be a plus and not a minus. Maybe not all pro level yet. You hope that they continue to move in the right path. But it's not a, man, you got a really inexperienced left side. I think you're hoping to have a solid, if not good, left side. Mm-hmm. I really think Latham could be really good. Brian Callahan was very optimistic about the progress Skoronski made. And remember, that's coming from a guy that knows offensive line play, Bill Callahan, right? He's not going to. I do think that they're being sincere, that they like the progress of those guys. You hope Cushenberry can come back. You've got to fix the right side. Mm-hmm. But now you're not fixing 5 spots. You're fixing 2 spots.
Exactly.
That's easier to do, and you've got a quarterback who's going to get the ball out.
So we
if,
were look-
if they go down this road.
We were looking at Derek Carr's value around the league, how much he's making. So I was looking at just average salary of quarterbacks through last season. So Derek Carr's average value was $37.5 million. That was tied for 16th with Aaron Rodgers, his contract with the Jets, which no longer exists. But Derek Carr tied for 16th at $37.5 million annual average value. So the question the two of you were having during one of our breaks was, how much would you pay Carr if he were cut?
Mm-hmm.
That is everything. Because if you look year by year, analytically, at his numbers, he doesn't have a great win-loss record. He hasn't been on great, but he is consistently, what I would say, better than average.
Mm-hmm.
And that's saying something, right? Especially when you're coming off a year where you got the worst quarterbacking in the league outside of the Cleveland Browns.
Exactly.
That would look a lot better week in and week out if you got, because that's quite a bit higher than Mason Rudolph, right? But again, I'm not saying it's going to be Joe Montana, but
better
than average quarterback play will make a difference.
Exactly. And again, I think there's this thought of, you know, we need to get And I get it. You would want to have that guy, but that guy isn't available at this point.
Right.
So
you're going to the grocery store.
Exactly.
And look, with the snowstorm coming, sometimes you go to the grocery store, there's not a lot on the shelf.
So basically, it's Instacart, okay?
Derek Carr had a 63.4 QBR last season. Now, I'm not sure he...
That's pretty good.
I don't think he was in the qual. I don't think he's in the qualified.
Right, he only played 10 games.
But 63.4 would have been 13th in the NFL.
And that wasn't like a career high. He consistently is in that neighborhood for the last five. Okay, let's go year by year. Since, let's just say, let's not go back ancient history, but since 2019, 64.1, 64.3, 58.4, 57.6, 56.5, 63.4. That's consistent. That's better than average quarterback play.
63.4. Just some other quarterbacks around that were qualified passers. So again, Carr 63.4. Justin Herbert 64.8. Matthew Stafford 64.7. Baker Mayfield 61.6.
Right. And again, it's not the end all be all. Mm-hmm. You can go through everybody's traits and say, well, let's look deeper into that. Mm-hmm. It's trying to put everything a guy does into one number, which is not easy to do for one stat. It's a starting point. But why is he higher? He doesn't get sacked. He gets rid of the ball. And he doesn't throw a lot of picks.
Yeah, I understand what you may want, okay? Like, I type in my stuff, my grocery list at Instacart. And if they don't have what I want, then they always say, hey, here's an item that could replace that. It may not be as good as my first option, but okay, this is where I'm left. All right, I got to get that kind. If I want to make the dinner that I'm making tonight, I got to get that kind. That's what this is about. Yeah, I understand, fans. You want your first choice. Whatever that first choice, you want a Patrick Mahomes type of quarterback. But as we're going to shop for a Mahomes type quarterback, we realize that Mahomes ain't here. Neither is Jackson. Neither is Allen. Neither is Daniels. Neither is Stroud. Neither is Herbert. What's here is Derek Carrs. That's what's here. And everybody else below him. So the Darnolds, the Carrs, maybe the Aaron Rodgers. So this is a pool you got to pick from. Unless you want to draft one of these guys. And that's okay with me too. But I think some fans think, oh, no, Well, what? You're going to get to a point where you're going to be at the end of your road, like quarterbacks, if you were running a team. So my thing is, listen, do you want to be in this position as a Titan fan or as an organization? No, you don't want to be in this position. But now that you are here, what's the best course of action to get us out of here?
So I mentioned something that Robbie Stanley said about not taking flyers on quarterbacks. He texted me to clarify, and I want to clarify this as well. This is what Robbie said to me. On the quarterback front, yes, everyone is a flyer. My point is you need to be convicted with your quarterback choice if you're drafting one. They took Malik Willis in the third round because he was still there, and they wanted to take a flyer on him. If they loved Will Levis to the point where they thought he could be a franchise quarterback, why didn't they take him at 11? There is no way they could have possibly known when they passed on him at 11 that he would still be there at the beginning of the second round. Then he was, and they were like, oh, cool, let's go get him. If you were really convicted that he was your franchise guy, they never would have passed on him at 11. That's what I'm saying.
And that has,
they should have taken him at 11, and that would have made him a different quarterback because they were more convicted?
I understand what Robbie's saying.
Then you'd be out a bad quarterback that you're trying to get rid of.
Tackle.
First round money devoted to that quarterback and not have Skoronski. That makes no sense at all.
But I understand what Robbie's saying, and I've said this about this year's draft. If you believe Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward or Jackson Dart, whatever guy.
Or Quinn Ewers.
Whichever one of these guys you feel, if you feel that much about that guy, if you are that convicted about him, then draft him. It's your guy. Like, if you think
you only get five guys that you're picking, you're convicted to every person you're picking.
No, you're not.
You are.
It's not a total. But again, when you're drafting that high, because there may be people in the room that don't want to draft this guy, there may be people in the room that do want to draft this guy. Everybody comes to a consensus. Let's draft him, but let's don't draft him. My thing is, if you have the number one pick in a pool of quarterbacks that are in this year's draft, if you feel that strongly about him as an organization. Draft him. That's all I'm saying. If you feel that strongly about a guy, then draft him. If you don't, then there's still some trepidation with that quarterback. There's still some type of maybe. If you feel that way, then don't do it.
Were the Panthers pretty convicted when they selected Bryce Young?
And I think they were. Yes.
And how's that gone?
But they were convicted. They were convicted about it.
Great. Where does that get them right
but
now?
If they were not, hold on. If they were not.
They
then
traded up to get the first pick. And they got him, and now they have a bag of footballs.
He's got
kickoff tees.
He's gotten better.
Oh, great. He's gotten better. Where are they picking this year?
They are picking in the top five. Yeah, right. But again, they moved
up. Good.
They moved up because they had conviction about the quarterback.
Great.
Because they didn't want CJ Stroud. They could have got CJ Stroud. They wanted Bryce Young.
Okay.
So they went up and got him.
When the Chargers picked Ryan Leaf.
They wanted Ryan Leaf.
They were convicted.
Exactly.
You think the Chargers fan, yeah, but we were convicted. We were convicted.
Listen.
He had that great win over the Tennessee Oilers at Vanderbilt.
Willie, we're talking about. We're talking about drafting a guy that high.
I'm kidding you, but come on. I feel like when you only make 7 picks every year, you're convicted with all those picks.
No, because
you're convinced all those guys in the moment are the right person for your team.
So when you draft a guy in the 7th round, you're convinced that he's going to make your team. You're not.
You have some scout in there saying, I think this guy could have something.
You're
balancing that with the probability.
So there's no conviction in that one.
The probability, you have to take your emotions out of it. This is the bet that this goes back to that study that I reference all the time. It's about probability and numbers. You can be as convicted or as cynical
as you want. If you look at the numbers and
the
numbers, look at the probability.
The probability is what it is.
Okay, that's
you're going to hit some and you're going to miss some. The key is, are you good enough that you have a good batting average year in and year out? And the Titans are very low in the batting average right now.
Listen,
it has nothing to do with how convicted they are.
We are talking about the number one pick, okay?
Yeah.
If you go through all your analytics and you go through all of the how many guys hit and miss, you go through all of that. But then also you have that thing and you're like, okay, you put all that together. Okay, the numbers tell me this and it matches how I feel. This is the guy that I'm drafting. I'm not looking at anyone else. He's the guy that I want at number one. I'm not talking about at number 15 or 30. At number one, if I feel that way about him, then I'm drafting him.
I hope that the Jets or the Raiders are really convicted about Shedeur Sanders or whoever they want to take at the first place, and they give me a lot of extra picks.
If it matches up.
Be as convicted as you want. That's good. I'll take the extra picks. That's me.
This is,
and I'll be just as convicted with the guys that I pick.
Well, the Titans were.
I'll just have more picks.
No, if they did that, the Titans were in their mind. They had made up their mind. You know what? We're trading out of this pick.
Was it not a catastrophic move by the Panthers to do what they did? I don't care how good Bryce Young ends up being. Well, I shouldn't say that, but the way he's tracking right now.
Absolutely. It's turned out to be.
When are they going to be good again? They completely gutted
but
themselves.
Why do you think they were too convicted? Why do you think they drafted Bryce Young? Because the analytics and everything matched to what they were thinking.
What does that
mean? When your analytics match to what you were thinking, everything matched up. Now I am dead set on drafting. That's my guy. Let's take the word conviction out. I'm just gonna say that's my guy.
Right.
That's my guy. So is that any different from being convicted about this guy? He's my guy.
Titans not pretty committed to Will Levis? They showed a lot of commitment to him. He stunk.
Well, I'm like Robbie. If you felt that he was that much of a quarterback, he could be your franchise quarterback. We'll draft him in the first round. Then I am with him on that from that standpoint.
I hope you and Robbie are in my fantasy league and you guys pick that way and trade up. I'll trade you a bunch of picks.
I'm saying, like, if I think he's a franchise quarterback.
Everybody thinks the guy they pick with the first or second pick is the franchise quarterback.
About
30% of them are right.
If I think he's my franchise quarterback and I think he's that dude, I'm not waiting and hoping and praying he makes it to the second round. That's all I think Robbie's really saying. That's all I'm saying.
All right, two things quickly before we go to break and have Tim Hasselbeck. We'll rope him into this conversation. Number one, We had one texter who asked if Willie was role playing today because he sounds a lot like Jared.
Oh boy.
And number two, David was in my ear during that segment. We might have to put the word conviction or convicted on our list of banned words and phrases next to generational and checks off all the boxes after that segment. But hey, that was some good stuff. I just sat back and watched. 615-737-1025. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. 1025-1063, the game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025-1063, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. Joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN, NFL analyst Tim. I've seen you all over TV today. I do have a question for you. You were on Get Up this morning, and you participated in a round of Good Idea, Bad Idea, which was one of my favorite segments from the show Animaniacs, for those of you out there who remember the show Animaniacs. And you were asked, should the Vikings re-sign Sam Darnold? Good idea or bad idea? And you said, good idea. And you explained your reasoning for that. My follow-up question is, I want to ask you about something that you brought up to us a few times, and it was the first I had heard of it. If the Vikings were to re-sign Sam Darnold, should the Titans look to acquire J.J. McCarthy, and what do you think it would cost to pry McCarthy out of Minnesota if they commit to Sam Darnold?
Yeah, so let's pretend they sign Sam Darnold. They will be committing starting quarterback money to Sam Darnold. At that point, you have to then look at J.J. McCarthy. I don't think he has a cap hit over like $5 or $7 million or whatever for the next 3 years. So, you know, it's not like signing Sam Darnold means that the Vikings can't afford to keep Sam Darnold and J.J. McCarthy. So the Vikings don't have to move him. You know, like for context, I want to say that Drew Locke made $5 million this past year as a backup quarterback. Like, you know, around $5 million for a quarterback is not, or a backup quarterback is not, you know, that's probably the market, is probably the best way I could say it. So saying all of that, yeah, you absolutely should call them. They don't have to move them. And so because they don't have to move him, like, what do I think the compensation would be? I think it may be a first rounder. Now, obviously, you know, where, because you're not going to get the fifth year option benefit, meaning, well, you would, but you really, you would only have, you know, the remaining 3 years of his rookie contract and then potentially the fifth year option. So, you know, the, his value a little bit as a first rounder is somewhat, you know, different. So I think the idea that it would be a, you know, a top five pick, I think that that would be unreasonable for the, if you're the Vikings. I think that if it was a middle of the round pick, I think that seems like it would make more sense. I think if it was a late round pick, then I think that a late first round pick, then I think that it would have to be something else along with it. And, you know, not just the 27th pick of the draft. Does that make sense?
Yes. So we've had a spirited conversation today about Derek Carr, who could be a salary cap casualty with the New Orleans Saints. We've gone through all of the scenarios that the Saints could go with Derek Carr. I like Derek Carr as a bridge quarterback if he's cut. I wouldn't trade for Derek Carr, but if he were cut and you could negotiate with him, I would seriously consider it. What do you make of Derek Carr as a quarterback today? He does have history with Brian Callahan. What do you think that fit would be like if that were to happen with Carr and the Titans?
I think it's a good fit because it's an offense that he's played well in the past. You know, I think that when you look at him, and I would agree with you from like the trade standpoint, like, you know, trading for him means you'd assume, you know, his contract, which, you know, while it's not brutal, it's also, you know, not super team friendly for a 33-year-old quarterback that, a team is moving on from, right? Like, where, what are his other landing spots? So I think your assessment of it is saying, like, yeah, hey, you cut him? Yeah, and then we can decide the route we want to go. You know, do we want to, you know, we're dealing with free agent quarterbacks, not something, you know, not somebody that we have to give up, you know, something to acquire. So that would definitely be the route that I would take. And then I would just say this, if we were to take the free agent quarterbacks, okay? So like, let's just assume that Darnold goes back to Minnesota, because I think that Sam Darnold at 28 years old, I believe he is, 27, 28 years old, like I think he's the best free agent quarterback that's on the market, okay? And he's not a fit everywhere, but he's definitely a starting quarterback in the NFL and, you know, will command real starter money. So get out of, you know, that, and then assume that Russell Wilson goes back to Pittsburgh. So now you're just, you're kind of talking about like, all right, Justin Fields, Aaron Rodgers, let's say they release Derek Carr. Derek Carr, like you start ranking those guys. Well, like Derek Carr is going to be at the top of that list, I think. Like, you know, maybe you could talk yourself into Justin Fields, mm-hmm. but most likely not. And so, yeah, I think it's a legitimate option. I think it's why the Titans really should try to figure out how they address quarterback, whether it's through the draft or whether it's through a trade during the draft. And if it doesn't work out, like they're not going to be left with nobody else on the market. Like that won't happen with the current quarterback situation.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. Now that you say that, Tim, looking at, you know, the quarterbacks in the draft as well as the quarterbacks in free agency right now, have you ever seen a year like this? Because typically sometimes it's, well, maybe the draft isn't heavy in quarterbacks. Maybe it has one or two, but at least free agency, we can go to free agency and get some guys that mm-hmm. we know can play. Or it's flip. You know, the draft is littered with quarterbacks, but free agency, the pool is very small. Have you ever seen a year like this?
You know, it's hard for me to recall like a certain year where it was like, because I think you're right. It does feel like there are cycles where it's like, oh, everyone loves the quarterbacks. I'm like, oh, no one loves the quarterbacks coming out. I think I would say it this way, though. Like, I think Cam Ward's a really good prospect. Mm-hmm. I think the kid at Louisville, Tyler Shuck, is a good prospect. I think Kyle McCord is really going to surprise people. I think there are people going to have first-round grade on the kid from Ole Miss. Obviously, Shedeur Sanders is going to be in the mix to be an early pick. So, like, that's not an awful quarterback class, right? Like, it's not. Now, look, just history tells us that if all those guys go in the first round, some of them are going to be busts, and there's a chance that, you know, one or two of them will be good. So, like, in some ways, I think even when it's like a slam dunk, yeah, look at all these great prospects, you know, I think that there are times where it just doesn't work out that way. Look, you go back to a year ago, like take J.J. McCarthy as the example. Like a year ago, J.J. McCarthy was like rifling up, kind of interest from NFL teams, it seemed. And, I think if we were to sit in February, you know, where people thought of, you know, how they talked about him was probably not as a top 10 pick. And, you know, because he hasn't played, it's how it goes. You know, the further you get away from playing, the better you become. You know, that he now is a guy that, you know, everybody should be interested in.
Now, quickly, I'm going to go to the wide receivers right quick for you, Tim, before I pass it over to Willie. Are you surprised that Cincinnati is once again franchising T. Higgins? Because you just felt that last year it went to the end and they end up keeping a tag on him. And you thought this year that they would, you know, just allow him to hit free agency or try to get a trade during the season, and it didn't happen. But now they're putting him on the tag again. Are you surprised that they're doing this?
Yeah, I think my guess is that they're trying to tag and trade mm-hmm. because, you know, by dragging their feet on T. Higgins, you know, it's delayed things with Ja'Marr Chase, and now they got the same situation with Trey Hendrickson. And so, you know, in the process of them taking their time, T. Higgins has proven he's a number one wide receiver. So now he's more expensive than if you would have, you know, extended him a while back before this, you know, came to a head. And then he'd be middle of the road, you know, whatever. He'd be a highly paid receiver, but wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. And as you've delayed it, you've also put yourself in this Ja'Marr Chase situation where he's playing it out, and now he's probably going to reset the wide receiver market. And so now you're going to reset the wide receiver market, have another number one guy. Oh, by the way, your best pass rusher, his deal is up. And so it just ends up being like, you know, by delaying it when the guy can play, you're just making everything more expensive. It's basically what I feel like I've talked to you guys about for years about, hey, Washington, when you knew Kirk Cousins could play, pay him rather than playing the franchise tag game because it just ended up being more expensive and then you lost him. Dallas, when you knew Dak could play, pay him rather than pushing it down, giving him the leverage of the franchise tag. Because basically when a guy gets tagged, like T. Higgins is like, look, I'm going to make $26 million on a one-year deal, and then I'm a free agent. I can, you know, make way more than that. So basically T. Higgins is looking for real guaranteed money over the first 3 years of his next deal because he's got the benefit of the tag sitting right there. So like the opposite of that is what Philadelphia is doing, is where they identify somebody can play and they lock him up. And that guy might be, you know, paid near the top of his position early on in that contract, but eventually he just paid like, you know, other receivers in the game.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. So, Tim, I think you had some discussion on ESPN about Rodgers, and so let's marry that with a Derek Carr, because you hit on the key factor is the financial commitment, right? If you can get into that sweet spot, the ideal thing would be you get good veteran quarterback play without getting in yourself into a huge financial bind. The reason that Carr and Rodgers could be available or are going to be available is because their previous teams dove in and are having to get out of some salary cap issues. It's not that they're awful quarterbacks. So I think you said that Rodgers might be a fit for the Titans. So why would you say Rodgers is a good fit for the Titans? And would you prefer to have him over Carr if the money works out?
I would not, like, let's just say the money is relatively even. I would prefer Derek Carr.
Okay.
Derek Carr is 33 and Aaron Rodgers is 41, 2 years off of an Achilles. Aaron Rodgers can't move anymore. Aaron Rodgers, I think, has gotten into bad habits because he can't move. So now, like, is Aaron Rodgers terrible? No, I mean, he would have given you a better quarterback play than the guys that were, you know, playing last year. I think he threw like 28 touchdowns and 11 picks, I think, is what Aaron threw. Like, I mean, it's not horrendous. There are guys that are, you know, that can't do that. So I guess what I would say is I prefer Carr. Now, the reason I said Rodgers is this. I don't think Rodgers is going to have choices. Like, where else is Aaron going? And, you know, people are like, oh, Pittsburgh. Like, I don't think he's a fit in Pittsburgh. Look, Russell Wilson's 5 years younger, was there last year and played relatively well for them. Like, Aaron's never been in that offense, and I don't think Aaron's a fit personality-wise or any of that. So I think when the dust settles, like, what is a team that could be a little bit like the Raiders last year where they missed on the quarterbacks in the draft, right? Because if the Titans don't go quarterback at the very top, like, there's a possibility, like, they don't end up with one. Well, like, would we agree on that?
Yes.
Like, yeah, okay. So if that's the case, well, now you're looking for a quarterback. Okay, well, now you are in that realm of like, all right, well, look, I got to win some games or else we're going to all get fired. So who helps us, you know, maybe win 10 games, 9, 10 games? Who can do that? And I think that when you get to that point, you are in the Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr business.
So you think the market for Carr, if I'm hearing you right, will be a little bit more than the market for Rodgers? You think Carr will ultimately get paid more than Rodgers and more competition to get him?
I do, and here's why. Bill Polian, I just remember being with him on a bunch of free agencies over time, you know, at ESPN. And he just is like, look, age, injury history, like over and over again. Like, it's always what he wanted to bring up and talk about. Like, that mattered. It mattered. It mattered. And Aaron's 41 and he tore his Achilles and he basically ruined, not that the Jets were going to be great anyway, but he basically ruined 2 seasons for the Jets. Right. I mean, we kind of agree with that because he gets there, he gets hurt and they stink. And then he comes back this year and they stink. So, and they've paid him whatever they paid him over that stretch, over $100 million. So, you know, like, and on the hook for more. So like, there is an element where, like, age and injury history has to be a huge factor, even if, look, Aaron's been a better player, no question about it. And but, like, you're talking about playing 16 games and going into the postseason, like, that is, yeah, I mean, he's 8 years younger than Aaron Rodgers.
So let's go one more about Carr before we let you go. If you look and you take away the teams he's played on and you just look at his numbers, QBR, quarterback rating, touchdowns to interceptions, pretty steady through the years. Why do you think he hasn't been on more good teams?
Well, I think his injury history has been a bit of a problem. Like, he's
because he
with
plays the
stuff.
Games, right? He doesn't miss games. Other than last year, he really hasn't missed many games.
No, I mean, if you look down, you know, his seasons, basically, you know, you other than last year, he's played at least 15 games every season he's been in the NFL. Like, so he's tough and he's competitive. I also think that sometimes these guys find themselves in bad situations. You just think about, like, you know, he's at the Raiders with Gruden. That thing ended up being a disaster. There was a, you know, a player and an awful off the field situation. He ends up in jail. Like, the leadership that he showed that season was remarkable. The very next year, they bring in a coach. It doesn't work out. And they essentially, at that point, they put him on ice because they don't want him to get hurt because they think they're going to go get some other quarterbacks in the offseason. So, like, why do I think some of it is? Look, I think he's been really good, and I think he's been in some really bad situations, you know? And yeah. I think there's been some unfortunate circumstances that he's been faced with. So, like, that's the difference between Derek Carr and Kirk Cousins. Like, that's literally the difference. So, you know, at 34 years old, are you getting the best version of Derek Carr? No, you're not. You know, the best version of him was 2021, where he threw for 4,800 yards. You know, like, that's probably the best version of him. But do I think that he could come in and throw, you know, 25 touchdowns and fewer than 10 interceptions? Yeah, I do. I think he could.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us on DMAZ, Vingan and Donick, as he does every Tuesday. Tim, great stuff. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good. See you, fellas.
Yep.
Tim Hasselbeck joining. We'll quickly react to what Tim has to say coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, the game. DMAZ, Vingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Quickly, before we get to Michaela Blake's at 1 o'clock, your reaction to what Tim Hasselbeck had to say, specifically about Derek Carr and Aaron Rodgers.
One thing that was a subtle point, because I thought there were some very interesting things he said in a comparison of Carr and Rodgers and what he thinks the market would be. But the market is important here, because if I'm the Titans, I'm considering a lot of options, but I don't want to overpay for my guy, because I know the guy I'm going to sign, if I go this route, is only a placeholder or a bridge to the next long-term quarterback, regardless of who it is. So let's keep the money down and get good bang for the buck. That's the key question here. But he made it sound like, because there's not a ton of, relatively speaking, maybe not too many teams desperate for a quarterback, you might get a good deal on somebody.
And that's why I said, like, you know, when you talk about Rodgers, it's he doesn't come in with the same sort of demands
leverage.
And leverage and power that he did 2 years ago. He's in a totally different space. Now, whether he understands that and realizes that or not, I'm not sure. But the market will tell him very quickly that, hey, listen, this is what we feel about you. We think you're still a good quarterback, but you ain't bringing you and your crew with you. It's you come under these under this contract, and if we choose to go get somebody that you may have played with, that you have a rapport with, we will. But it's not going to be a only reason we're signing Rodgers is if we can bring his guys too. Mm-mm, that train has passed for Rodgers, and hopefully he understands that.
Yeah, look, I am a Saints fan, as I've mentioned. Mm-hmm. The Derek Carr experience, it's not the most exciting experience there is. Mm-hmm. I certainly don't love Derek Carr, but like we talked about at the beginning of the show, you're digging through the Goodwill box. All right, what's in here? Maybe I can find, you know, I used to like to go thrift shopping, right? Sometimes you find something that you didn't expect in there, a nicer shirt, an appliance or something. You're like, hey, how did this end up in here? And sometimes it's by comparison. Like Derek Carr compared to some of the other quarterbacks who are expected to be available in free agency or they get cut. He looks better by comparison, right? Mm-hmm. So all I'm saying is
he's a jukebox person.
Is he
the jukebox person?
I feel like Derek Carr is slightly above the jukebox, the girl at the jukebox on Last Call.
I would think so too.
Yes, yeah. I think he. I don't know, what's one step above that? What's wrong? Yeah. What's one rung above girl at the jukebox at Last Call?
I don't know what would be what. When you first walk in,
she jumps in on your pool game or your darts.
Yeah, okay, yeah, there you go.
You know, she's at the dart board right next to you. You got your crew's playing darts, but she strikes a conversation with you at the bar.
She says,
"Hey, yeah. we'll take the winner. Exactly. We'll take the winner of that one."
There we go.
She's like, "Hey, lip."
Upon further, she's got a little personality.
Yeah,
like, hey.
Exactly. Okay.
She's spunky. Spunky. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, maybe a little bit of a tomboy. You know,
yeah.
She's
a little hangability. Yeah.
Hangability.
She's got hangability. Derek Carr. Derek Carr absolutely has hangability. So
there we go.
Look, whatever quarterback the Titans get, if they decide to go the veteran route, it's not going to be a signing that knocks your socks off. You're not going to get that excited probably. But that's the position that the Titans find themselves in. And look, we're going to have plenty more conversations about the quarterback between now and the draft, which is, God, more than 2 months away. Oh, boy. We've got a lot more to get into with the quarterbacks. But we are going to talk to Vanderbilt women's basketball star freshman Michaela Blakes. She will join us to start the third and final hour of DVD, 615-737-1025. Quick programming note, I mentioned this early. I'm going to mention it again. Due to the call for inclement weather moving into our area, Smashville Live, which was scheduled for tomorrow night, has been canceled. So if you made plans for that, no Smashville Live tomorrow. Hopefully it will be rescheduled. But Michaela Blakes, Vanderbilt women's basketball star, will join us coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.